We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday suckage on the score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
And I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck.
Welcome in. Welcome back from some foreign country, Robbie Triano. Saturday suckage off to a suckage-like start. Way to stay on brand, Robbie. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Just to answer Philly Jane's question, let's take a roll to see who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
This does. Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, do we suck?
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
And it sucks even worse now, Eloy. Toby.
Oh, my God, this sucks.
Random Bears fan. Turbo!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liv and Rich!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka. Oh my God, Robbie, do you ever suck? All right, you know what? I think we all need musical interlude from Avenue Q.
It sucks to be me.
No.
It sucks to be me.
No.
It sucks to be broken, unemployed, and turning 33.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck. I'll tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Wendt.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Elgar.
Turn it off, man. Turn it off. It's sucking my will to live.
Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks. Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Future Justin Fields coach Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. It's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Robbie Triano, boy, are you ever
here.
Are you ever here?
Oh, my God. That was the worst I've ever done.
Welcome to Saturday Suckage. But you knew that. You just listened. There's your roll call. I wanted that taped. What happened to last week's? I wanted to put it on Instagram.
That'll be done. My brain is mush. I really suck.
No, like you ghosted me. We knew this was going to happen. Otter was in the studio taping it. You were going to pair the sound with the video, and then you ghosted me and you left the country.
Yeah, I was on a beach for a week, so yeah. I'll get that to you tonight.
Welcome to Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We're off to a roaring start. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number here at the Score, 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to the Score's text line. We will bring you the Keenan Allen press conference, the entire press conference, later today. In just a couple minutes in this segment. But first, there's just some wonderful Justin Fields rumors. And you're never more than, like on hit radio, we're doing hit radio the way they did it in the 60s, Boss Radio, hit radio. You're never more than 5 minutes away from a Justin Fields rumor. Well, in this case, the Eagles-Steelers trade yesterday involving Kenny Pickett revealed a previous and now fresh rumored Justin Fields suitor. Dan Graziano of ESPN tweeted out, the Eagles, from what I understand, talking to sources around the league, were one of the teams that had talked to the Bears about Justin Fields, but obviously could not get to the point where they agreed on a price, so they traded for Pickett. Now this, from Nick Faribault, Steelers beat writer for the site PGH Steelers Now. The Pittsburgh Steelers are interested in acquiring Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields, according to multiple league sources. Pittsburgh traded their young quarterback Kenny Pickett to the Philadelphia Eagles on Friday and have explored a potential trade for Fields. According to multiple sources, the market Fields has in the NFL was described by sources as, quote, lukewarm. And the difference between the trade occurring to most teams at this point is the price that Chicago believes is fair for Fields. Pittsburgh had talks or preliminary interest in a potential Fields trade dating back to the NFL Combine, but the price was too high. But after the trade for Pickett, there is still interest in Fields. While sources stress to the Steelers Now that the deal is not imminent, there is legitimate interest from Pittsburgh to explore a deal and potentially acquire Fields. Okay, we don't know who for sure is going to be throwing to Keenan Allen, but we know reporters were throwing questions at him at a presser as he went through his physical and he met the media, and here it is in toto.
What have the last 24 hours or so been like for you, and what was your reaction when you found out?
Yeah, definitely excited. You know, my receiver coach is over here, so that excites me a little bit. And, you know, just being with a new organization, being able to see new things, you know, be a part of new things, and just be excited about it.
Keenan, did you get the private jet treatment getting out here yesterday?
Man, I did. That was my first time on a private jet, too.
What were you thinking about as you're kind of making that cross-country flight and kind of reflecting on how your life has changed here in the last couple of days?
I didn't think about too much, man. Just kind of laid down, you know, enjoyed the time with the kids and the wife, and just kind of sat back and just take it all in and actually understand that this is really happening and just embrace the moment.
Can you take us back to Thursday and just finding out about the trade, how that day played out for you?
So I was talking with my agent, you know, pretty much the whole day, going back and forth, you know, with the teams, and when he called me, we was on the phone, and then he said, hey, they're calling me right now. So I'm like, all right, bet. And then he hit me with the, you're going to end up in Chicago. I'm like, all right, cool. Got great talent. I know DJ, hell of an athlete out there at receiver, and just picked up a running back. Obviously, the tight end is really good. We picked up a tight end that I played with last year as well, so I was excited about it.
Keenan, were you happy about the change? Were you happy about the trade? Were you excited about a new opportunity?
Oh yeah, definitely excited about the new opportunity. Like I said, being with a new organization, this organization has a lot of tradition, obviously wanted to, finish my career there, but you know, things happen, and you got to keep on going.
Is it hard? I mean, when you've been one place, two cities, but one team.
Yeah.
your whole career? Is it hard to heal?
Yeah, I think so. I just think it's going to be a hard adjustment. It's not going to be too much, though. I did it, you know, in high school to college. I went from North Carolina to California, so I'll adjust, and, you know, I'll make it happen.
You went on record in January, I think it was during the locker clean-out, just saying that you didn't want to go anywhere else. Did the team, when they were trading you in this process, did they approach you and say, do you want, like, where do you want to go? Or was it just that you found out you were going to Chicago?
There was a couple of things. There was a couple of teams that they would allow me, I guess, to say where I wanted to go. I only had, like, two teams. And, yeah.
If the Bears were to draft a young quarterback, how does your game help a young quarterback or being quarterback-friendly in general?
Yeah, I think I'm just a friendly guy, you know. I'm a friendly guy on and off the field. Obviously, on the football field, I know the game. I know the ins and outs. I know the zones. I know, you know, how to beat man. I know pretty much how to play the game. So I just think I'm friendly for the quarterback because I'll be in the right spots. I know how to communicate with him. And, you know, my body language is solid too. So,
did you have a feel yet for how you and DJ can complement one another and have those skill sets kind of be intertwined?
Oh, yeah, man. Anytime you got two guys that can make plays and beat man coverage, it's going to be tough. That's any time. And, you know, obviously, he's a guy who's made plays in this league for a long time, and, you know, myself as well. So put both of us together, it's going to be pretty good.
Sorry, did you go to any SC football games last couple years? What do you know about Caleb Blake?
Hell of an athlete. Obviously, he can make tremendous plays with his feet, with his arm. Looks like he knows the game really well, and he's really good.
Have you met him at any point? Yeah. What's he like, this guy?
Solid guy, down to earth, chill guy. I don't know much about him. I think I just met him once.
Get him.
You'll turn 32 next month. What's been the key for you of retaining productivity as you get older and the body isn't able to do what it once was?
I think just staying to the process. Always working out, always staying in shape. Loving the game, obviously. Just being able to approach it every year the same way. And just try to get better at little things.
You talked about looking at the Chargers as a place where you wanted to potentially end your career. I know it's been, 48 hours, but have you been able to kind of recalibrate what you want the rest of your career to look like and what you can accomplish with this team?
Yeah, just continue what I've been doing. Nothing changes but the jersey, you know, for me. And that last name still going to be on the back. It's the same, and, you know, that's what I'm carrying.
What does it take to be good on third down?
Knowledge. understanding what you're looking at, understand what's coming, and, you know, having that clock of when the quarterback has to get rid of the ball.
How much pride do you take in that, in being a solid, good, trustworthy third down target?
It's everything. Obviously, as a receiver, you want the ball as much as you can get it. So the more times I can get open, the more chances I got.
Keenan, to Chris's point about the rest of your career, you're in the last year of your deal, but presumably the Bears would like you here longer. Is this already a place that you kind of vision yourself past this next season?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we wouldn't be here right now. Obviously, yeah, we'll get there down the line.
You said there were two teams that you wanted to go to.
That had interest, yeah.
Okay, what were they?
Jets and Houston.
You've played with Phillip and Justin Herbert. You've had pretty good quarterback play for your entire career. Does the quarterback uncertainty here worry you at all, if it's Justin or a rookie? Or?
No, not really, because, you know, Justin wasn't for certain when he first got there. You know, obviously we had the battle with him and Tyrod after Phillip left, and, you know, Tyrod was a guy for going into the season, and then Herbo happened to step up and, you know, be as great as he is. So,
the injury that cut short the end of last season, when did you feel 100% after that, and how frustrated were you knowing the productivity you had up to that point, man, that you couldn't finish off a year that was going some places numbers wise?
Yeah, it was going pretty good. Little heel bruise. I told the team, you know, if we was playing for something, then I'd probably be out there, obviously, and it was just an unfortunate situation, but I think it was probably maybe a month and a half after that.
What do you attribute the numbers you put up last year to and the way you were going on that trend?
Well, a lot of it goes to Kellen Moore. He's a coach's coach. He knows what he's doing. He's played the game. He's briefly played the game, just got out of the game, and, you know, he knows it real well, and he's able to put guys in motion, put guys in position to be successful.
Keenan, in recent history here, like the last decade or two decades, there's been a lot of receivers who have been very frustrated in Chicago. What's your sense of where things are at
now with the organization and with the offense?
I don't know anything about that.
You're going to keep number 13?
I'll try to.
Tyler Scott, you called him yet?
No, I haven't.
Have you thought about, just like at this point in your career, how many more years you want to play? Like when you hit a certain point, do you have to project out to the future, or do you just take it year by year?
Yeah, I just kind of go year by year, stay in the moment. And, you know, when my body says no more, then that's when we'll have that conversation.
How do you feel about cold weather games?
They're tough. No, you know, it is what it is. It's one of those things you can't control. So, you know, you just kind of go with the flow and just go out there and try to remain yourself.
You've accomplished a lot in your career individually. What are you most proud of that you've been able to do?
I think play 11 years. That's tough in itself. You know, being somewhere for 11 years, being the same guy, being consistent, you know, being as productive as I've been. And I just take a lot of pride in that.
Keaton, you mentioned the offensive skill group the Bears have with DJ, Brennan and Gerald, DeAndre, Cole Kmet, obviously. What strikes you about the potential of this group, no matter who the quarterback is?
We can be really special. Like you said, you got weapons. You got guys who can beat men all over the field. So double-teaming one guy is going to be, you know, costly for the defense. And I think we can, you know, use that as our advantage. And like having a running back that can come out of the backfield, make plays, and beat one-on-ones, that's kind of big.
I know you just got here, and you're probably going to be doing a lot the next couple of days. But is it, you know, the thought of beyond this year, is it your expectation that you will sign a new contract with the Bears at some point soon? Or have you got any indication about that?
No, not really. You know, we're just kind of taking it one day at a time. And got 1 year left, and you know, we'll see what happens.
Both from a football and a life standpoint, making this change in year 12, what are the biggest challenges you foresee here in the coming months of just getting settled, in both football and life?
I just think, you know, the family situation. You know, obviously we've been in California for, I don't even know, 13, 14 years. So we're just figuring out what we're going to do. You know, when the season comes, are they going to stay out there? Kids are in school, so how are we going to do the school situation and see where that goes.
Since the football stuff will be really easy for you?
Yeah. I mean, football's football. That's what I do.
When a team asks you to restructure the deal after you've been with them for so long, what are the emotions that go through your head, and do you need to push those out and then make a business decision? Or
yeah, deal with that? I mean, it really was no emotion. It was, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Came off my best season, so it's not happening.
You've had some cracks at the playoffs in your career. What kind of motivator is that now, at this stage of your career, to make a run and to win a championship?
Yeah, it's huge. Like I said, year 12, obviously I've only been to the playoffs 3 times, so it's definitely something that that's in the back of my mind. That's what I want to do.
Did you see the potential for this team rising up toward contention while you're...
Yeah, absolutely. When you start to see, you know, the roster shaping up, you know, the way it is, I think we're going to have a good shot.
Dante Pettis told us yesterday that you're a pretty good singer.
Yeah, I heard about that.
How was that experience for you being on The Masked Singer last year?
That was great, man. Great opportunity. My first time singing in front of an audience, judges and stuff like that. So, you know, it was a challenge, but it was good.
Keenan Allen. WR1A, right? Isn't that what we have to call him? Wide receiver 1A? I mean, it's what a tremendous pairing. That is Keenan Allen, fresh off a physical, meeting the Chicago media. That's your first impression of him. That press conference on The Score, presented by Hyundai and your local Hyundai dealers. So a lot jumped out. One is he's really excited. And when he starts talking, he was asked about DJ Moore and the weapons and he starts talking what the midday show calls sexy football. And he talks sexy. Yeah, well, you know, we got this tight end, we got that tight end, we got me, my DJ, and you want to double team one of us, trouble somewhere else. And he starts talking about the way a defense is going to look at and he talks with such confidence. And I'm coming off my best year. I'm not going to rewrite anything. The Chargers ask him to redo the contract. No, not taking a pay cut. Not going to happen. But something else jumped out, and it should. Sorry to put blood in the urine of all the Fields stands. But he was asked about, because he's such a clutch, getting beyond the sticks, making plays on third down, making a tremendous clutch receiver. He was asked about how his skills and on third down can help a young quarterback, presumably Caleb Williams.
What does it take to be good on third down?
knowledge, understanding what you're looking at, understanding what's coming, and you know, having that clock of when the quarterback has to get rid of the ball.
How much pride do you take in that, in being a solid, good, trustworthy third down target?
That's everything. Obviously, as a receiver, you want the ball as much as you can get it. So the more times I can get open, the more chances I got.
Understanding what's coming and having that clock of when the quarterback has to get rid of the ball. That's great when you're working with Justin Herbert, when you're working with a real NFL quarterback. Justin Fields doesn't have the same NFL clock in his head. He isn't on time. He isn't in time. And as we started the segment, he appears to be on borrowed time. Maybe now back to the Steelers. So that's your latest rumor. Justin Fields to the Steelers because they traded Kenny Pickett. And the message it sends there in Pittsburgh is, Mike Tomlin, my way or the highway. You want to mouth off? You can mouth off in Philly. Good luck with that, kid. And Trubisky's in Buffalo, right? Did he go to Buffalo? Did he go somewhere? Where else did he go? I don't know.
He's in Buffalo.
So that leaves an opening in Pittsburgh. They may need a backup. And Ryan Poles is facing a decision, two decisions. One is, what is doing right by Justin Fields versus doing right by the Bears? And the other decision is, do I make a trade with Pittsburgh again when I got pantsed last time? Let's ask a Yinzer. Let's do that. Now that Pittsburgh and quarterbacks and all that stuff has been brought up again, let's ask a Yinzer. The Yinzer is John Greenberg of The Athletic, columnist, editor-in-chief of the Chicago Bureau of The Athletic. We're going to take a break here on Saturday Suckage. When we come back, we'll talk quarterback and WR1A and trade and all the juicy stuff that's going to have to drag us through till Justin Fields is traded. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. We played you the Keenan Allen presser meeting. Really impressive. Talking, when he talks football, it's terrific. Gave you honest answers, like Chargers wanted to redo the contract, and what were your, no emotion, not going to happen, coming off my best season. No, not going to happen. Yeah, there were two teams out there, Texans and the Jets, and he seemed quite straightforward. So when he says, yeah, me, DJ, got a really good tight end, got another tight end who Everett used to be a teammate of his and a teammate again now. And he's a quarterback friendly guy because he knows where to be and knows how to get open. And he's just solid. Answers were great. I love that. I think that's a great first impression. And I think his accomplishments, his talents will speak for themselves, even though this is where, as Musim Muhammad said, this is where wide receivers go to die and quarterbacks never exist. Maybe that's changed. We'll see. But given all the Justin Fields rumors and back to Pittsburgh, we needed to talk to a Yinzer. So we're going to go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois and bring in John Greenberg of The Athletic. You're a Yinzer. What do you think of all this? John, hi, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening? So, you know, I can't say that I think it's a great trend for the Steelers to keep picking up first-round quarterbacks the Bears drop. I don't think that's like, you know, I know Mitch had a layover in Buffalo first, but, you know, I can't say as a team with a proud tradition of actually winning football games, not like the Bears have a proud tradition of talking about having a proud tradition, but the Steelers actually win games and go to the playoffs, so I would say that's like maybe not like exactly what I want. But in this case, you know, you got Russell Wilson on a 1-year deal and he claims he wants to play forever or whatever. But yeah, maybe I wouldn't be bad to have Fields as like the backup. I personally would rather see the Steelers invest in a pick in maybe another quarterback and maybe go for, you know, depending on where Michael Penix Jr. goes, depending on where Bo Nix goes, and kind of take a shot that way, you know. And you can't stop just because Kenny Pickett didn't work out wouldn't mean that I'd want the Steelers to stop trying.
The way this rumor mill is gone is we started at, somebody said first round pick and he got kind of laughed at, and then it was, okay, second round pick, but look at this guy, second round pick. And now that all the musical chairs have been filled, the musical quarterbacks there, and as you mentioned, Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh, now we're finding good backup spots for Justin Fields. Is that where we are, or is that just simply the spikes, the ebbs and flows of this rumor mill? Because we don't really know. But is this the way it feels to you?
Yeah, I think him being a backup or bridge guy perhaps is what made the most sense, considering he had he really didn't have any success. I mean, he's an unbelievably dynamic runner. He's got a great arm still, but as far as being a quarterback, yeah. And that's, you know, obviously a product of his system and where he's playing. So, you know, those things don't, you know, they kind of work in conjunction, but like the stuff about how his value, I feel like a lot of that was spiked just by like radio stations like The Score putting on national or ESPN putting on national people being like, hey, what do you think Justin Fields' value is? And these people were just like guessing, like, I don't know, first round pick maybe. They had no clue, right? Like, yeah, they talk to people, and you do talk to people to get information. I'm not saying people are making it up, but like, they don't know. Like, and no one's gonna, like, I have friends that work for teams, they're not gonna be like, yeah, I would give this for Fields, or like, I would do this. Like, for instance, I know one team where I know a guy who's like third or fourth maybe in the hierarchy, and he's liked Fields in the past, and he's told me that. But the guy who's atop his team doesn't like him. So, you know, that's the key, is like, why would these people want to invest like their jobs or their credibility on a guy who hasn't shown anything yet to be a starter? So I think probably like, yeah, I think I was probably one of the people being like, yeah, I could see him going for like second round or third round. That was only if, though, you had two teams interested. And then you create a market for him, and then someone's got to overpay a little bit maybe to get him. But like, there was no market for him. And I think everyone who was at the combine, I was only there for like really like a day and a half. Like, you could tell there's no one's talking about Justin. Like, the only people who are talking about Justin is this great player, these like kind of delusional Bears fans, and then ex-players that we interview who like carry the weight of their own experiences. You know, a lot of these guys want to see him do well because they've seen what happens when teams and cities give up on them. So they want, you know, they want to say, like, give this guy a chance.
My guest is John Greenberg. He's a columnist in Chicago for The Athletic and editor-in-chief of the Chicago Bureau of The Athletic. And we're talking Justin Fields and the Bears, and Keenan Allen, I thought, made a great impression. I thought Keenan Allen was the acquisition was terrific. The first time meeting the media was great. It was plain spoken. It was honest. I thought he did a wonderful job, and he seems, his stats tell you that he backs up that kind of plain talk. And other players talk about him as somebody who you follow because of his work ethic. I think this is, I'm very impressed with this. It's certainly better than anybody they were going to get in the draft. What did you think of the deal and where it leaves? What did you think of the job Ryan Poles has done this offseason?
I think it's been pretty good. I mean, he hasn't overpaid for anyone like crazy. You know, he hasn't made any like stupid gambles. I think he's been pretty good. I mean, I think people would like to see, you know, would have liked to have seen a little more aggressive moves, maybe on the D line with the, like, you know, some of the guys that were available, you know, and helping out the pass rush. I can definitely see why people, you know, might be a little annoyed about that, you know, and the action of free agency is kind of like its second season, you know, where people can get excited about with the draft and free agency combined. So I think he's done a pretty good job. He seems like pretty committed to being sensible here, which is good. I mean, you know, it's a weird team. You know, people, I think they went seven games last year. And I mean, it got positive at the end. It was terrible at first. And then at the end, it was like, oh, wow, this team's not
so bad. I was talking to Kyle Long about it. He was at that DraftKings event yesterday, and I talked to him for a while, and kind of just like he said from afar, he was watching it being like, holy cow, what's going on house all this year, you know, with the firings and the coaches stuff, and it looked like chaos. And then all of a sudden, you know, by the end of the season with Eberflus, they were a pretty consistent team. So I think he's done a decent job. I mean, yeah, but some of the stuff has to hit, right? Like you trade a draft pick for a lineman, Ryan Bates, who looks like a backup. Like this guy's got to hit as like a consistent player. Keenan Allen, everyone loves this pick, but, you know, is he going to sign for – are they going to work out a deal, right, to make, you know, maybe offset the salary cap hit for this year because he rightfully didn't want to take a pay cut? You know, what are they going to do to kind of make this make more sense rather than just trading a draft pick for a rental for a guy, which wouldn't make a lot of sense? So, you know, a lot of stuff has to work out. And like with anything, the players have to play and you have to see some results. Like the Bears are now in a results situation, even with getting a rookie quarterback. Like it's the kind of patience people are going to have for this team is going to wear thin pretty quick.
So what results are acceptable to you? This is still you saw the Detroit Lions, the Bears seem to be trying to match the Detroit Lions, and they still suck against the Packers. They can't beat the Packers, and the Packers look like, oh my God, is this another Pro Bowl quarterback, and how do they keep doing it? So what's acceptable as a result for a team that lost 10 games but suddenly added more offensive weapons and were waiting on the quarterback? What's acceptable to you, John?
Making the playoffs. And, you know, I think people tend to skip steps or jump ahead. When, you know, and you can see with the way people talk about Caleb Williams, when people are like, oh, he could be a generational quarterback. Like, slow down a little bit. Let's have competence. I wrote that, my goals for him would be competent and, like, exciting. And then you go to good, very good, and great. I would like to see the Bears make the playoffs. And, you know, it's always funny to me when I hear stuff like, people criticize the Steelers, and listen, Steelers fans are criticizing the Steelers, so it's not just outsiders, but like, oh, they've only won like, you know, two playoff games in the last 12 years or whatever. But like, yeah, but they go like, they're in the playoffs a lot. Like that would be my thing for the Bears. Bears are never in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like that it's, you know, I've been covering the team as a columnist since 2009, you know, two playoff appearances plus the COVID year appearance. Like that's terrible every year. So like, yeah, make the playoffs. How about that? Like, it'd be nice to win a playoff game, too, you know, but you can't do that till you get there. But, yeah, I just want to see the Bears make the playoffs. However, you know, win the division, wild card, whatever.
And this division got a lot better watching Jordan Love improve. And the Lions, I still think the Lions could go all Lions on people, even though they look like they have a solid foundation. They're still just like people look at the Bears and go, they could be as Bearsy as possible, and just when you think that. But given the situation that the Bears have created, does it make – you're going to hear from Justin Fields' stands, all those people who say, look, why didn't they give him this the last year? And then you're going to hear from the Caleb Williams people who say this is the best position a rookie quarterback could walk into with those expectations. Do you expect Caleb Williams to get chosen? And if you expect Fields to get traded, when?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it could be going to the draft. You know, I've heard people talk about that, and it makes sense to me. Like, you know, second day of the draft, things shake out a little better. And then people are like, all right, we need a backup, or we need a guy who could possibly start for us for a little bit. That's probably when I see it, but it could happen before then. Like, Pittsburgh could make the move. Just decide to get it over with and get a guy if they don't like anyone in the draft or they don't think with their picks they're going to have a chance to get someone. But yeah, so I mean, anywhere between now and then, I'd say he's not. I would be shocked if he comes to like any kind of OTAs or anything. I just think it's awkward, it's uncomfortable, and it's, you know, it's probably just unnecessary. And like, I understand the point of view. I was kind of arguing about it with Kyle because he could see them keeping him longer and longer. But like, you know, to get more value or to do right by him. But, you know, I also think, you know, I think it's funny that you have some national reporters being like, no, they haven't made him available yet. And you're like, okay. So you're telling me if a team came by and said, like, we'll give you a second rounder, you're going to be like, no, we can't. He's not officially available yet. We've got to, like, it's a little laughable. But I think Poles plays it pretty well. I like that he's not desperate, you know. He doesn't seem to be to me. Yeah, I mean, the one move you could describe as some kind of desperate move was that gamble on Chase Claypool.
And I think he regrets that and kind of learned his lesson a little bit. But like Keenan Allen's like the opposite of Chase Claypool, you know, so at least he's kind of figured it out a little bit. So is DJ Moore. I think it's cool. I think to have those two guys here, that's like, it's incredible because you have, you know, they've had good receivers. Like we tend to overlook some of those years. Like they had Alshon, they had Martellus Bennett, and they had Brandon Marshall on the same team. That was some good receivers. But this is like a little different, a little more low maintenance. I'd say that.
And I think that the depth of that quality will help whoever's playing quarterback.
Yeah.
And I don't know, want to get back. Right. The DeAndre Swift is, I don't know, I still remember the drop he had when the Bears should have lost that game and he drops the ball in the end zone. And Robbie, a Detroiter, a Michigander, is shaking his head at the whole thing. My producer.
Worst loss ever.
It was just a miserable thing. But he's coming off a really good season and all of the talent there. So to your point about not showing up, Justin Fields not showing up to offseason team activities, but I think he's kind of the guy who's, you know, I'm still QB1, I'm still here. Would he show up? He's QB1. There's been no draft yet when they show up in April. So why wouldn't he show up?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it just depends. He doesn't have to, but he probably will. I mean, he's not going to – I don't think they would find him. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's really awkward for him, though, because then he's got to talk about it. You know, I just – we'll see. It doesn't really matter. I mean, if he shows up for offseason activities, he's not – I mean, they're going to move on. I think people that think, like, no one – the problem now is now we're perpetuating that there's all these, like, lost cause Justin Fields people is – as they're like a big group, and it's really not, like, you know what I mean? Like the average person on the street just wants, that's a Bears fan, just wants to see the Bears win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this vocal minority of Fields people is like pretty much a vocal, you know, it's just, it is what it is. So like, I don't mind that people like love him and see like hope with him, but like everyone knows they're going to take Caleb Williams. And I think we would have a better sense if they weren't, you know, like they're not committed to Justin. You know, the funny part about this whole commitment to Justin thing, that people, for even the vocal minority that are convinced about it, one thing I've respected about polls is that he has been notably non-committal to Justin the whole time. Like, he's been positive about him. He gave him, you know, better DJ Moore last year and you know, a better line. But, like, he's always said kind of like Justin's got to prove himself to him. So I think he's been pretty consistent about it.
I think he has, too. And he's said that this is what I like. This is what I want to see. And what he won't say to tip his hand is whether he saw that or not. This is not Punxsutawney Pole seeing his shadow and deciding that he's going to trade him or whatever. He hasn't committed to that. But given the team, given the moves, the Keenan Allen move, and now you look at what that offense is and expected to take the quarterback, that number 9 pick, what do you think the Bears should do with it?
You know, I mean, I'm kind of the mind of best talent available in that spot and keeping it. Like, you know, I was big, you know, if Roma Dunze could fall, that'd be amazing. Or even Malik Nabers. I would say now, obviously with Keenan Allen, that changes the math a little bit. So with only, what do they have, 4 draft picks left now?
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know, if you can trade down, I probably would, but do a lot of teams want to trade up for 9? I think that's going to be such a thing that, you know, goes till the very end. Because it depends on who's picked and who's left, you know, that someone's going to actually trade up something decent to move up to 9. It must mean that someone really talented has dropped. So we're not going to know that till that moment, whether they can make a deal there. But yeah, they got to be looking for it because you're going to want a few more draft picks. So, but, or the Bears find the guy they really want drops, then they have to take him. So I think it's really, I think it's kind of a no-lose situation for Poles there. And it's amazing. Poles really has put himself in a great situation. But let's remember something. He's only in this great situation because the Panthers were such a disaster this past year. Like, if the Panthers are just a normal bad team, you know, the Bears have, like, 8-9. So, you know what I mean? 7-8. You know, like, it's just a different situation. The Panthers, they should, I mean, really, really – really did a favor for the Bears by being a complete disaster of a franchise. Thank David Tepper. If you ever see him, Steve, at your, you know, any big wig type of festivities.
Yeah, well,
you hang out with lots of billionaire like investment people. So,
and I think Trash Panda had tweeted out, "Don't forget Lovie Smith. We should build a statue of Lovie Smith the way this Bears rebuild is going."
You should have a statue or a parade. Can we do a parade?
Yeah, like we just an entire gathering could be held in Lovie's beard. It could hold millions.
When I was in I had an internship after college with the AP in Israel, and there was the Love Parade was there. I think it's always in Germany, but there's one in Israel. We could have the Lovie Parade instead of the Love Parade.
There you go. Look at that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll put that on the docket. We'll campaign for it here along with my ganja for guns. I want people to trade in guns and give them a pre-roll for that to get guns off the street so we could have a Lovie Parade as well. We just combine the whole thing, right? If you get all these people to show up for dying the river, we can certainly do it for something more sensible. All right.
Absolutely.
We'll get to work. John, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, man.
John Greenberg, columnist for The Athletic. Talking Bears, Justin Fields, Keenan Allen, Ryan Poles. By the way, John said Ryan Poles put himself in a really good position. I think Ryan Poles put himself in a difficult position. He's got a decision to make. Maybe he's made it and hasn't said it, but he put himself in a really bad spot. I'll discuss that next. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome and welcome back. Saturday Suckage, I'm Steve Rosenblum. I want to alert you to this. Tune in tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. for BetQL's countdown to tip-off as Nick Costos and Ken Barkley break down the brackets immediately after they're released. Who will be their best bets to cut down the nets? It's countdown to tip-off from BetQL tomorrow, 6 to 8 p.m. on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Coming up at the top of the hour, Hub Arkush. And we'll talk to him about Keenan Allen, and we'll continue our discussion about the draft. At 1 o'clock, Mark Potash of the Sun-Times, talking more Bears, Keenan Allen, quarterbacks. 125 or so, Mike Renner, NFL draft analyst, host of Renner Ranks for the Locked On podcast. More Keenan Allen talk, Bears talk, quarterback talk, Justin Fields talk, Caleb Williams talk. Sometime next hour, I will also give you some truths about Sammy Sosa. He was in the news, and we'll have some of that sound, but there's some backstory, some truths you need to know that will help you going forward, and we'll show you who to blame. We'll show you who to spread around the blame. But first, I had mentioned this before the break. Ryan Poles is facing a decision that is virtually untenable now. He said he wants to do right by Justin Fields. Those are his words. Guess what? Ryan Poles' first job is to do right by the Bears. You can't make unrealistic trade demands out of guilt for the way you decimated the team around Justin Fields 2 years ago. And you can't hold your breath until you turn blue out of empathy for the way Matt Nagy soiled the bed in Fields' rookie season. So you have to do right by the Bears. You can't make Justin Fields a starting quarterback at some other place. The NFL is telling you you can't make Justin Fields a starting quarterback. The latest rumor when the Eagles traded for Kenny Pickett, the Steelers suddenly regained interest in Justin Fields, but they have Russell Wilson, so Justin Fields as a backup. That's probably not what Ryan Poles had in mind as doing right by Justin Fields. Well, you don't have to do right by somebody if he'd have played like an NFL quarterback, if he could throw in time, on time, if he wasn't a ball security nightmare, if people thought he had a quarterback clock in his head, if he had quarterback instincts. So, Ryan Fields, as has been discussed, and I just discussed it with John Greenberg of The Athletic, does the market get better for Fields next month? This month, before the draft, after the first round, is draft capital? See, what happens is you just pay money for a quarterback right now. You don't necessarily have to pony up draft capital. And that hurt Ryan Poles' idea of trying to do right by Justin Fields. Because other teams would just say, you know what, we'll pay. Maybe this guy's good, maybe he's not. But all we have to do is pay money for Kirk Cousins. We don't have to sacrifice draft capital, which is very important for a team that sucks, like Atlanta. I don't know if Ryan Poles feels you can have Justin Fields and Caleb Williams in the building at the same time. Maybe you can. I had lobbied for the idea of just declaring Justin Fields QB1, Brett Rippon, Tyson Bagent, QB2, and Caleb Williams, QB not playing until week 17 at the earliest. Work for Mahomes, Rodgers, Jordan Love, and now nobody would believe it. If Ryan Poles said that, which sounded like a smart plan to me, if Ryan Poles said that now, you wouldn't believe it because it's so transparent they're trying to get rid of him. So it would be, don't play us for stupid. I hope Ryan Poles doesn't go that way because that hasn't gone well for Chicago sports figures. See Ryan Pace for details and Phil Emery and John Fox and Gar Foreman and Arturis Karnishevas and Chris Getz and Kevin Warren and the chairman of the Chicago Welfare Sox. Just a few examples of trying to play fans for stupid. We're not buying it. So make the move. Make the move early. Make the best move you can for the Bears. Whatever happens to Justin Fields, he'll get over it. We'll talk to Hub Arkish next on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.